Okay, you're tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You are now listening to the Sitting in the Park show. Today is a special show because I have in the studio right now legendary Chicago soul blues artist Syl Johnson. Yeah, and repeat that again. Say hi.
Hi there, radio man. Hey, Bob.
Thanks so much for coming down to the studio.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for having Bernard. And Bernard is here, and he's a bad bass player, and I'm happy to bring the bass player and the gentleman Bernard Reed with me.
Yeah, and Bernard is who's been up here before is Syl's bass player and legendary Chicago bass player Bernard Reed, who's played bass on like most of the records that came out of Chicago.
Most of the hits.
Let's see.
Okay, cool. So we'll start off talking about your career, Syl.
Yes.
And then after that, we'll talk about a new artist that you're producing because it's got a really nice kind of throwback sound.
Yeah, she wanted to go minus the soul.
Okay.
And that's old school soul and new old school soul, whatever. I can still do it as well as I could then, now even better. And we just recorded analog like we did in old school days and get that warm sound, you know, on the bass and all the instruments and that sort of thing.
And it's all real instruments,
yeah.
Which is really cool sounding.
Yeah,
so
everybody's a live musician on making sound, everybody.
And you're I would say a legendary performer and have a long career yourself. So I'd like to get some of your story too.
Yes. I'd like to give them my story. Thank you.
So, can we start off? Are you originally from Chicago?
No, I wish I was, but I'm happy to be from Mississippi. When I was a kid, I lived in Mississippi and moved to Chicago when I was like an early teenager. And I've been here ever since. And that's been like umpteen years ago.
And,
you understand.
And how did you get into music?
Well, you know, I used to listen to the birds sing, man, and they made noises. And I just wanted to make the noises, and I wanted to make the beautiful sounds. So I thought of singing, and then I thought of, I saw Matt Murphy came to my house when I was a young kid. That's M.T. Murphy, Matt Murphy. He and my brother, they were like homies, like friends.
Okay.
He had a guitar. I'm like, wow, dang. I was a little guy. I wished I could get my hands on that thing. I bet you I could play it. And sure enough, I got a chance to steal it when my brother wasn't watching. He let my brother keep it overnight. Whew, man, I saw that guitar, man. I was just watching like a cat watch a little mouse. And as soon as my brother turned his head, I got his guitar in there. I learned how to make a few little licks because I was watching them. And that's when it first happened.
How old were you?
Probably about 7.
And you were living in Chicago at the time?
No, Mississippi.
So you
don't learn that kind of stuff in Chicago.
So you knew Guitar Murphy from back in Mississippi?
Yes, sir.
But did he come to Chicago also when you came?
No. I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. But he and my brother, my oldest brother, Jimmy Johnson, they were like tight friends forever. They're still friends right now.
Okay.
And they cooked up. And then Matt came to Chicago. I think he lived on the west side. He gave me a few guitar lessons on the west side. I didn't like the way he teach. I like Reggie Boyd. And but he was good. He teaching me too much fast stuff. So... But then he was cool, and I got to know him again when I met him on the Blues Brothers scene. And he was with the Blues Brothers, and I was
making
supposed to...
the movie?
Yeah, I was supposed to have been in that movie with Muddy, but it wound up being Howlin'. I mean, who was it? Johnny Hooker. And I couldn't play boom, 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 boom. Ow, ow, ow. So Johnny Hooker said, lay out. You lay out. He told Shaggy Walters to lay out, too. So I laid out and I get up and I just stood up and watched them. It was great. I got paid, though. Scales. I got paid scales for doing a movie. Other than union scale. That's all.
So how old were you when you moved to Chicago?
Probably about 14.
Okay, and when did you first get your first guitar that you owned?
Shit, I was in Mississippi, man. I was in Mississippi. That wasn't. You
know, I didn't hear anything.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Somebody said shh. I said shh. You know.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Go ahead. I was in Mississippi. I already knew. Because I had a guitar myself when I was about maybe 11.
Okay.
So I struggled around. One time I tried to make me a guitar. And my brother made a guitar up on the house, up against the wall, ping, like that, with a bottle.
like he put a bottle against the wall and
actually made it with this piece of wood, you know.
Okay.
So I made me one.
Like he nailed a piece of wood to the wall.
I mean, you know, he fastened it. I mean, it wasn't like a piece of junk. Now he knew what he was doing. You know, it sounded like ding dong dong. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I tried to do me one with a stick.
Okay.
With a cross stick. That's what my sister said. I can't remember that one.
Okay.
I can't remember. They got me one with a stick.
And what city in Mississippi were you?
There's no city.
Okay.
Come on, kid.
Okay.
Never saw a city until I got to Chicago.
Okay. When you came to Chicago, had you had an experience playing anywhere?
Yeah.
So you were just playing by yourself? Like
yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Playing high school, little grammar school. Maybe with little school plays and stuff and doing little. Yeah, I did. Even went out of town one day. We had a harmonica player named Pillar Johnson. He was good. And, yeah. Play. Mm-hmm. Can't hardly remember.
Like what types of places were they that you played?
In when school you were a kid? Or something, man.
Okay.
Gary and
no.
Well, it was in Mississippi.
It was connected to some little grammar school.
And did you play the blues when you were back like what style of blues?
I don't know. As long as you play. I can't remember.
Okay.
It might have been country, some country. We heard more country than we heard blues.
Okay.
The summer of country was good. Blues came on once a day.
So just whatever was on the radio you would hear?
Yeah.
Okay.
Some country. I could play it.
And then when you moved to Chicago, you kept playing music?
Oh, I really got started playing music when I moved to Chicago right away.
So how did that happen?
I had my amp in the window. See, I could play with amp then. I was good. And the boy named Magic Sam, he was next door. He was living next door to my mom's when I came. And he had a guitar, a little raggedy guitar. And I tuned it up for him and hit some few chords for him. It's killed him, man. I forgot what I was. Somebody said Smoke Attack and Lightning went out there. But it might have been Boogie Chillin'. That I taught Magic Sam how to play. When I first stepped off the train, remember, my brother and I, we came on a cab to my mom, who was already here. And he was sitting on the porch trying to play. He was like whooping out some hillbilly, he was all the big buck crudups.
Okay.
That's all he knew. But I knew some Muddy Waters and some Howlin' Wolf now. And also, I hope Smokestack Lightning went out then, but I think it was something by Howlin' Wolf was out. And I was teaching him. What's the name of that?
Smokestack.
No, that wasn't it then. It was something else. But at any rate, I taught him how to play some blues. Because that was kind of good then.
So that was your first friend who you played music with was Magic Sam in Chicago?
We started dealing with it, and I put the amps in the window. We used to bring the police around, and eventually Shaggy Day came around. You ever heard of him?
I've heard of him, yeah.
He heard the music came, and he was looking for some musicians. And I was the best. The amps pulled him in. You know, guitars in the window with the amps.
Where were you staying at the time?
27th and Calumet.
Okay. So did you end up playing as part of his band?
Sure did, yeah.
So you were playing in different clubs around the city with him?
Yeah, he went to white clubs. I had to stay in the back with the beer can a lot of time.
Okay.
The beer bottle. But when we played some clubs, we had to go in the back anyway.
So that was like in the late 50s that was happening?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And then you ended up pretty soon getting a record deal for Federal Records.
Uh-huh.
As Sale Johnson, not with Shaky Jake's band or anyone else. How did you end up getting a solo record deal?
I was like doing a session with Jimmy Reed. And I was doing sessions with some video artists. Like, I think Jolly Hooker was one of the person, but I did a lot of sessions with Jimmy Reed. So one time I was sitting at the Universal Studio A. Phil Upchurch was the bass player. So I was just showing Phil Upchurch the type of tune I'm going to cut with the band tonight. You know what I'm saying? And the pots was open. She heard me, Vivian Carter. And her brother was Calvin Carter. You ever heard of him?
Yeah, so they had VJ Records.
Yeah, they had VJ Records. And Calvin said, "Hey, man, my sister wants you to do a record." I'm like, he said, "No, sing it." I'm like, "No, I don't sing. I just do a little something with the band." He said, "No, you sing." So he asked me again. So I got interested in it. He said, "What do I do?" He said, "Make a dub. Make it. Write you a song, make a dub. And stop by and give it to us, you know, so you can hear, make it write you a couple of songs." So I got Howard Scott brother, you ever heard of?
Yes.
Yeah, we're from the same neighborhood. And he happened to write a song. It was called Teardrops. I put the music and he put the lyrics behind it.
Okay.
And then his brother, Tommy Scott, wrote another one called "They Who Love Should Have Tears of Joy, Like the Girl When She Meets Her Boy." You got that one?
Yeah, I've got love.
Real love and that should have a home. Well, I got loving, baby, I got love.
Okay.
I got nothing but a fresh. I hadn't heard that record since I cut it.
Let's play it now.
Yeah, come play it.
Okay, so Teardrops came out, let me just say this real quick. Teardrops came out in 59.
Yes, sir.
And I got this information from the internet. Teardrops came out in 59, and I've Got Love, which is the record you're singing right now, came out in 60, so that was your second record in Federal. So I'll play that right now, since that's what you were just singing.
I never heard that one since then.
So this is Sale Johnson with his second record all the way back from 1960. This track is called I've Got Love.
My name. like that. I really like that song.
Yeah. So that was just Syl Johnson with his very second record, recorded on Federal Records and released in 1960, called I've Got Love. And I was playing that for Bernard right before we came here, and he was saying it had a kind of a Sam Cooke kind of sound. Would you agree with that?
I didn't even know Sam Cooke then. I mean, Sam Cooke might have been copying off me, I guess.
Okay. but one thing is it wasn't a straight blues sound either. It was like an early soul kind of sound, actually.
Well, I pick up sounds from the birds and all that type of thing. And it's just a sound that came from my heart and soul in my ears.
So it was bird influenced.
No, not necessarily human influenced, but I know, you know, sounds. I was familiar with sounds, and I cared about sounds. Different sound, like the mockingbird. But
you ever asked me a story, how did I go to BJ?
Yeah.
Why didn't I go to BJ?
Yeah.
Like, I was going on the bus, right, from West Side. So the bus don't stop at Michigan. The bus stop at Wabash, and it just circles around. So I get off at Wabash, and now I walk to Wabash, 13th Wabash. I see King Reddit. Oh, I'm going now. My dub went in. I said, hey, I said, what do you want, boss? I said, I got a dub. Somebody listened to it. Yeah, I listened to it. He listened to the dub. He come back outside. He, whoa, we like it. Can I play it for my boss? I said, yeah, man. Play it for boss. He was talking loud in there. Talking loud. Whoa, I'm behind the glass. I'm looking, man. What's going on? Come back. He said, my boss like you, man. We want to cut a record on you. I'm like, what? He said, yeah. He said, can you be back? I think it was like, might have been Monday or Tuesday.
Who was the guy you talked to?
Ralph Bass.
Okay. Yeah, I know he was working at Federal.
He said, can you come back Thursday for rehearsal? We're going to cut it from Universal, Studio A, Friday, maybe. I said, what? He said, yeah. I said, oh. I said, well, I got to go to VJ. He said, this King, man. Willie Willie Johns, Hank Ballard, the Midnighters, Jay Brown, you heard of them? That's a big company. You don't need to go to VJ. I kind of hated to leave my dub, you know. When I came back on Wednesday or Thursday, they were rehearsing my music. Love the Bates and like Gene Red, Sonny Thompson. Love the Bates was on guitar. Sonny Thompson was on keyboard. I forgot who was on drums. You got the...
I don't know who was on drums, actually.
I think Numero would probably know.
Numero
Uno. Huh?
Al Duncan.
You think so?
From that era.
It might have been Al Duncan. Might have been Al Duncan. So that was it. And then when I cut this, I went over to Cincinnati.
Okay.
And recorded in the King Studios. And at studios, at a pressing plant, they make the record, they rehearse it and cut in the studio, then they go mix it, then they go master it, then they go and press it. Little Willie John record, he covered a record called You Heard It, Heartbreaks. They shipped it the same day they cut it. That's how bad Sid Nathan was. How great he was. He wiped out the other song, Heartbreak. Little Willie John did. So that's how good they were. They did the whole thing.
So it was funny that the only reason you had the dub was because VJ encouraged you to do it. And then King Records, Federal Records, stole you from them.
Not really. I just was going to VJ because VJ was on Michigan, so I'm just going to walk through, you know. Yeah, cut through. I cut through. So like Wabash, I just kind of cut through. I'm like, the students, come right here, come here. I think I'll go in there. And that's when I went in there, that was it. I wound up with a record deal, so to speak.
Go ahead.
Carry on.
So that's an interesting story.
Thank you. No, it's very interesting.
And then you ended up cutting, or they ended up releasing 6 records on you on Federal Records.
Yeah, nobody liked them.
But I think...
They wouldn't even play them.
I think one of them got a little bit of play. I think the last the last one, I'm looking for my baby. Did that get some play?
Here's my resignation.
Yeah, I resign. Sorry, I resign. Sorry.
I got a new love to find. Here's my resignation. Oh, I resign. Dun, 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 from your love. Dun, dun, dun.
That was the one that got with Little Sally Walker on the flip.
Yeah.
And then, so that got a little bit of play in Chicago.
I don't know. I resign from your love, did.
Okay.
Because I heard it on.
That's the one I mean.
Yes, okay. Yes, sir.
And then, so you were on Federal for a few years, and you continued to play clubs and stuff at the time?
Yeah.
So did you form your own band at the time, so now
of
that you became a solo
of
artist?
Of course.
Who was in your own band?
I can't remember the first guys, man. I mean, what the heck?
Okay.
Deacons.
No.
You had a good guy. Okay.
Let me see. Some neighborhood guys, you know what I'm saying.
Just local guys?
Yeah, some neighborhood guys. Okay. I was always local, too.
So then you didn't end up recording for a few more years.
I recorded every week.
It just wasn't released?
Yeah. I go record it. I keep the tapes for a little while. The studio keep a safety. Bingo.
Okay.
That's the end of it. I lose the tape. I forgot I made the song. I swear to you. This numero uno got some real good songs that I never can't remember. I swear to you. I cannot remember, but I know my voice, and that's it.
And they're putting out a box set on you, right?
Yeah, I was so amazed. And then I started thinking, because the studio always kept the safety. So that's how they got it, through the safety. You know.
You mean the original master tapes?
Yeah. You always leave a safety. So if I didn't nobody like my record, I didn't get no deal. Maybe I put it out on a little record, too, and nothing happened. And I lost count of it, lost track of the tapes, and forgot about it.
So after Federal, you were on a tiny label called Cha-Cha. Do you remember anything about how you got on that label?
I didn't get on it ever. I made it up. I didn't know. Cha-Cha wasn't mine.
It wasn't your label.
I think that's Mel London.
Okay.
That's Mel London, I believe. I cut a couple records for different people. Yeah, okay.
And then...
I'll get your card. Okay.
After that, you were on a small label called Tempting.
Yeah, that's Martin Alexander. He had a little contract.
And you had a record called I've Got to Get Over.
Someday I will get over.
And that was a really nice record.
I got to get over. Yeah, that was great.
So that got some play in Chicago, right?
No, that wasn't do-do-do-do-do-do-do, I forgot.
It didn't get any play?
Yeah, it got some play. Rodney Jones played it.
So how did you get onto that label, do you know?
Because everybody solicited me. Every artist I ever recorded, every company, it was the company's idea to record me. Not my idea.
Okay.
I never, only because he was telling me to come with this dub. He told me to cut a dub, right? I never asked somebody, let me produce you. I never asked some company, take my record. I never.
Well, do you want me, I could play the record and we can talk some more.
Go ahead.
Okay, so this.
By all means, play it.
This is Syl Johnson with a really nice record, I think from 1965, around that time. This is I Got to Get Over.
These guys know the date better than me.
Well, the internet knows the date.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. We'll be right back.
Okay, you're tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You're listening to the Sitting in the Park show, and right now I have a special show because Syl Johnson is up in here talking about his career. That was just one of the earlier hits in his career from 1965 on a label called Tempting, and that was I've Got to Get Over. And Syl, do you remember the band that played on that record?
Yes, that's my band.
Do you remember the names of any of the players?
Harvey Burton, Willie Henderson, John Cameron, Raymond Orr, Harold Hitler on drum, Louis Satterfield on bass. I want to see who's on keyboards. Wow. I forgot.
So did you produce the record yourself and
yes,
take
sir.
It to the... Okay.
Yes, sir. Yes, I produced mostly all my records.
Yeah, it definitely had your sound on it.
All of them.
It doesn't sound like
all
anyone else produced it.
Yes, sir.
So on that record, was the band called The Deacons yet?
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
So first of all, your band ultimately was named The Deacons, right?
I organized a band, and my brother was the band leader, and I named them The Deacons, and... That's your band, brother. I just want to be a star.
When did that happen?
I forgot. Back in the day.
Who were the Deacons?
My brother and some more guys.
Okay, but different guys than on that record.
Yeah, different guys from on that record.
Okay. So right after that record, you had an even bigger hit you had on Zacron Records.
Oh boy, that was a monster. Not yet. Which one was that?
It was Surrounded and Straight Love, No Chaser.
I'm surrounded, baby. Yeah, I remember that one.
So which was the A-side, Surrounded or Straight Love, No Chaser?
Straight Love, No Chaser. That was the A-side. So that also got played on WVON as well.
So did both sides get played?
No, just Straight Love.
And so that Zacron label, were you involved with the record label?
That wasn't my label.
So that was your first record label that you
no.
actually...
I had some other little labels, too. I had all kinds of little labels.
What were some of the other...
I can't remember.
Okay. But Zacron, I think, was the first label that your...
John Zachary was my bass player. John Cameron was my teacher, my arranger, and he played in my band.
Okay.
Zacron.
Were they members of the Deacons also?
No.
Okay. So, Zacron was, but it was your record label, though.
Yes.
And that was the first hit that you released on your own label, though, correct?
Oh, that wasn't no hit.
It was a local hit?
No.
Okay. So then, after that, you had a couple records on Special Agent, and then you had...
No, that was it. After that was
then come on. Then you had Come On Sock It to Me, which
Twilight.
Was which was the big
Twilight. Hit. That was my label.
So was that a hit?
That was a huge hit. Huge. There was no record bigger than it at the time. It was like in the Heat Seekers chart number one. Came out number one. But the Heat Seekers, they didn't have that in Billboard then.
So,
came out number one. It was so big.
Did it get pop and R&B play?
It went pop, yes, sir. But the only problem I had with the pop and the Detroit, a promotion man from Detroit was saying to the radio station, said, white station won't play that because they don't want you to say suck it to me and hear white girls hear you say that.
So
this is true.
Did it keep the record from being played at all?
I think so, on pop stations.
But it still crossed over.
Yeah, well, that's because it was so big.
Did you tour nationally off that record?
Oh, yes, sir.
And
instantly. Instantly.
Where are some of the places you
Everywhere.
Went?
I can't remember. Oh, man, tore up the South. Tore all over the country. At least 40 states.
Did you do TV at all?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
Chilton Circuit.
Oh, I did more than Chilton. I did Soccer Team. I did Apollo.
Dick Clark Show.
No, not yet.
And then after that, you did your next record after that on Twilight was Different Strokes.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a big record?
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay, and that
was the biggest socket to me, though. But bigger now than any record I ever. It's the biggest song of all time. Different Strokes is the biggest of all times. Bigger than all songs. Everybody major act in the world has done Different Strokes. Even Michael Jackson, Tupac, Will Smith.
You're talking
Kid Rock.
You're talking about people sampling the record?
What do you call it? They did Different Strokes. They took portions of my Different Strokes. What can I say? You call it sample, but I don't call it sample. I just say, well, you snatched some of my music, man. Sample? Is that what you call a sample? Like if I take, you got a couple biscuits pieces in the plate. He sampled your plate. No, you took some of my food, man. Am I right? Give me some of your water. You drink some of your water. He didn't sample it. He just took some of your water. Am I correct? You think that's correct?
Does that make sense to me?
You call it a sample. I don't call it a sample. Well, and the one that didn't give my permission is called theft.
So it was.
And the one that did it and got my. And I caught them and said, okay, Mr. Johnson, we'll pay you. Thank you. I love you so much. The Wu-Tang Clan and Kid Rock, MC Hammer, the Ghetto Boys, Mr. Scarface, Tupac, Mama, Miss Shakur, everybody, Will Smith, they paid me. Kid Rock, everybody paid me. After they found out my music, the Wu-Tang Clan just did so many of my tracks, at least I think 17, and I got a lot of platinum trophies from the Wu-Tang Clan in my house, and I got 11 million platinum trophies from Kid Rock. It's so beautiful. If you ever want to come by my house, I'll show it to you. It's really a beautiful plaque. I wish I had a plaque like that myself, but it's beautiful.
And an audience to your house.
No, I can't bring the audience. No,
just announce
but
your address.
I just want to say that success, and I think that was my biggest success, to make music that is applicable to now times, and that was standard type music. I mean, just a hook, and they didn't only sample this because I'm black. They sample anyway. The wind blow. A lot of songs, is it because I'm black? Ooh, a lot of songs of mine that sample.
Have you ever met the Wu-Tang Clan?
Yeah.
Oh, so you've actually met them?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Couple. Ghostface and Rick Wong, they're some groovy people, man. And yep. RZA is really a super businessman, and they're some honest and fair people. And they chug my pockets with a few dollars, and I paid my taxes.
Okay, that's cool.
Pay my income taxes, state and federal. Thank you very much. But the Wu-Tang were great. MC Hammer, and thanks to Kid Rock and Michael Jackson, thank you. Before he died, he paid me off. And Will Smith, thanks to him. And, just thanks to Ice Cube, Ice-T, everybody.
So
lots of them.
On those tracks, it's your first band, is that correct?
No.
On Different Strokes?
No.
What's the band on that track?
A Different Stroke Band is a great band.
What's
it's got John Cameron, it's got Raymond Orr on trumpet, Murray Watson on trumpet, John Miggs on the alto, Harvey Burton on trombone, Willie Henderson on Phil Wright on keyboards, Willie Henderson on baritone, Walter Scott on guitar, Mo Jennings on drum, Morris Jennings on drums, Reggie Boy was on bass on Different Strokes. Reggie Boy, my teacher on bass. Right now he's in a nursing home, God bless him. And who else? Paul Serrano was on trumpet. And,
Is that the same band as on Come Sock It To Me?
No, it's a little different. The guitar player, what's his name? He's a white kid. I'll think of his name after a while. But Walter Scott was playing guitar on there. And, It's hard to try to remember all these musicians. It's been so long. Tell my 40 years, a little better than 40 years. But great musicians. Some are still around, like Mo Jennings is playing on Melody's music. A lot of the songs are Melody's music. And he's good. Bernard Reed wasn't on there, but I wish he had been. But Reggie Boyd was pretty good on the bass. I'm sure Bernard could have caught it as well.
So you had a string of hits on Twinight Records.
I sure did.
I think another one of the biggest national hits. I was looking in the Billboard R&B book, and it was "Is It Because I'm Black?"
Oh yeah.
Got R&B play, and there was a bunch of other records that charted on Twinight.
Hits.
When did the band change?
What do you mean when the band?
Like when did Bernard Reed join your band?
Bernard Reed now. I started working with Bernard Reed and them. First, I met Jerry, and I can't quite place it, but I met Bernard Reed and them in the late 60s, because I had started recording with the band in Memphis, the Hiders Brothers. And I met Bernard Reed and all of the Bishop and those guys in about 68. Oh, 68, wasn't it?
They were
on Hot
Pants and
Anthony. Yeah. No, before that.
Yeah.
It was about 68. Because it's because I'm black in 69.
Yeah.
So is that the first record you played?
No.
You played
that
on?
That ain't the first one. No, that's not the first one. That's just a hit. That's the hit.
I thought Hot Pants and Anthony.
No,
that was one of the last Twinight singles.
That was the last one. Okay. We can't remember, but at any rate, we made music. We made music.
Okay.
There are songs that we probably cut that people don't even know that we made them.
Okay.
Because I'll pay my musician out of my pocket and do a session. Well, too bad. Ain't nothing happening. That happens every day. You make your little tracks, bingo.
And around the same time, you were also producing other artists too, is that right?
Yeah, because it came to me. Yeah, because
I know you had the Shama record label and you produced Simtek and Wiley.
Yeah.
So, like, how did
Otis Clay?
Okay.
Because it came to me. That's how I did it.
So pretty much, artists came to you and asked you to produce
they
them,
did.
And you put
everybody
it out.
Everybody came to me.
Yeah. Andrew Jeffries.
Yeah, everybody.
Yeah, Andrew Jeffries had a record on Shama. Yeah.
Yeah, everybody came.
Yeah.
To me. Everybody.
And you even had Atlantic Distribution on your label.
Yeah, they love me. They love my production. Jerry Wexler, Henry Allen, and Jerry Greenberg. I was there. Ace Bone Cone. But I couldn't keep control of my acts.
The Drifters.
Yeah, the Drifters. Darling.
Oh, you produced a version of the Dynamic Tints song "Be My Lady" on the Drifters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So for Atlantic Records, how did that happen? They just brought the Drifters to you?
Yeah, they brought the Drifters to me. They brought the Sweet Inspirations to me. And somebody else, I just didn't get a chance to do it. You know what I'm saying?
So did you produce a Sweet Inspirations single? I don't have that one, actually.
I think I did.
Okay.
I think I did.
But you produced the last Drifters record on Atlantic. I had that one.
Yeah.
Okay. So then after you left Twinight Records, you went to High Records almost immediately after that.
Yes, which was a mistake.
Oh, really? Why?
Because, look, there was another guy dominated the charts at that time. I don't think that... I should have stuck to my Twilight roots in Chicago.
Okay, you're talking about the Big High act?
Yeah.
Okay, I could guess who that is.
You know. So it's pretty hard to come number one there with a guy like him.
Because they were putting all the promotional...
Well, he just had the hits.
Okay.
Well, how can you not promote a hit?
That's true.
I'm so in love with you.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to do. That was a hit, man. It was a hit, but he was good, and I was good, too. So, cool. I made it through there because I got hits. Did it? I scored hits.
You just weren't as well promoted as
he
was. Okay.
Well, how do you like me now?
Okay.
I'm promoted right now on your show.
That's true, but I don't have him on my show either.
But I'm doing it because I like it. I'm doing it for no crumbs or no money. I'm doing it because I like you, and I like to do this, and I just love to talk to you about it.
I really appreciate you coming down.
I appreciate you having me. I mean, I would probably want to pay you just to do this. Because I love this type of music. I love music. Music was in heaven. David played the harp. Who played the trumpet? Gabriel. You know, Gabriel was a monster with the trumpet. David was cool with the harp.
Okay.
So they had different music. Musicians in heaven, right? Jesus. So you know, saying music is a part of our life.
So
without music, wow, what would a soul be lost? Songs keep people from killing people. Songs keep people from going crazy because they're crazy in love with someone. Good songs. So it's like the most beautiful art in the world. Better than even painting and all that stuff. I like paintings. You know, man, show himself. But then you got a group of hearts and minds and soul connected. This is universal. This is what God loves. This, I ain't no preacher now. The scripture says, Spirit of God moved on the water. Water is all life come from water. Any guy ain't moving water. The water means God move in the life of people and make them come together and make them help, and make them love, and make them teach,
forever
and make them doctor on each other. Doctors, most of them, they're doing it not just for money, because they want to save that individual life. You see? So that's the way music is.
Forever flowing. It's an intent. It's tangible.
Tangible energy that's locked into
it. Connects us all.
Yeah. See, it connects. The hearts connect. It's just people. Health, education, and welfare did a study, and I was looking at it. They wanted to know the most valuable resources. Some people said big car and a woman and a house and your money, pocket full of money and all of this stuff, you know, and how good, everything. But they found out people. Not your brother, not your mama, not your sister, not your dad, but people were the most vitalist resources. So, take these people and they make this music together. I like the musicians. They rock the rappers and they use these band tracks and stuff. But I respect the musicians a little bit higher because it's a group of hearts and minds totally together. And they bring, like, you know, you go see a symphony.
You see, they have to connect with each other to make the music.
Yeah. Yes, it's connected. Souls connected. Feelings connected. That's good. And the singer sings and he lets out that flavor, that spirit, man, that soul. And the band get the hook and get the pocket, and you can't beat it when the band strike a pocket. You know what a pocket is?
The groove you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the pocket, lots. And that's what music is.
So after you left High Records, did you continue to make and release music?
Yeah, on Santa.
And in the 90s, you released a really good, it was like a high, it wasn't that good.
The what?
There was like, you released a record with the original high musicians with your brother. In the 90s?
Oh, that was... that was my brother. That was... that was a good record. Black in the Game.
Yeah.
Was it Black in the Game with High Rhythm?
It was. You had a record with High Rhythm that was a good record.
Yeah, that was good, so good. Good album. Then I cut a record with my brother. Two Johnsons are better than one.
Okay, I was getting those two records confused.
Yeah, it didn't get good. It was on EMI, but somehow it didn't happen.
And then, are you still making music on yourself today?
Nah. Not really, no.
Okay, but
I'm contemplating on doing one with the Dap Kings. I did the tracks already.
Okay.
And I think it's coming out.
And they're very talented, actually. So I'm sure that would sound great.
I hope so.
And so, but you're still performing, right?
Yes, sir.
Where are some of the places you performed recently?
Russia.
Where in Russia did you perform?
Moscow. Where else we go?
St. Petersburg.
Where else? All kind of places. Australia, too. I was in Australia here not too long ago. St. Petersburg. Russia. We were all over Russia. Big country.
Okay.
We're in Siberia 3 days.
Siberia?
Yeah, we're in Siberia.
Was it cold?
No, it wasn't that cold in Siberia. What's it mean? No.
Siberia was the warmest day of the whole Russian tour.
But I was in that hangar. I kind of felt that wind coming through that door one time. We was on that kitchen that plane at night. Boy, I said, that wind is sharp. That wind came through that door. Oh, the door was open. I said, I know that's Siberia. No, but we were leaving. We were leaving. The wind was like a knife. It was like a razor. A door opened. Remember? Can you remember? We were leaving Siberia. We were leaving the night.
It was very sunny that day.
Well, that's when we came. Mm-hmm. When they made us get out the bus and walk up the hill to the hangars. Remember that? And we had to go in the side door.
So what was the venue like in Russia?
Sold out.
But who were you playing for in Russia?
People. Sports arenas.
Really?
Yeah, Moscow Forum. We packed it three
Was
nights.
It older people, younger people?
You know, younger people, man.
Whoa.
Okay.
All ages.
Oh, crippled people dancing to that type of music, man. Old folks.
Small children with their parents.
Yes.
Okay.
Young people. People. Young ones, especially.
Yeah.
They go, that's who go to the hops. They dance. They put this little circle in there. You got a flood of people. So I saw that in more than one town. They go like a rainbow. You ever seen the steppers? Like in, the Soul Train, when they come in the little line. So in Russia, they have a little rainbow. They be doing a funny type dance, and it stands out from all the other people. You see, remember that beanie?
Like a curved, line
yeah,
dance?
Yeah. They're doing all the different dance from everybody else, and it'd be moving.
Like while you're playing live.
I think they did it in Turkey, too.
Oh.
Yeah, they did it in Turkey.
Oh, well, yeah, it's like a long line which we would call like the bunny line, the bunny.
Yeah.
Everybody's bouncing.
We sold out. Everywhere we go, we sold out.
So you're doing like different strokes and people are in like a line.
Yeah, right. They got a line going through the order, zigzagging.
We do anything we want to do funky.
Okay, that's cool.
Miss Fine Brown Frame knocks them out.
Okay.
We don't play it slow either, man. We don't play it slow. We be hitting them. But the drummer be ringing wet. We be wet. We would come down. We be wet.
Yeah, we love you.
We work it. We works, man. Yeah. We work. We don't play with them. No, sir. When we come in like thunder.
You see the people on the streets during the daytime and they don't see you at all. But when they come to the performance, then you see them as they really are, free and happy. And, I mean, they really let go.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I never see
that you're able to entertain. No, it's right. So universal, like you're able to entertain anybody around the world.
They just want anything you give them then.
But we gave them good music.
Oh, yeah, they certainly
did. Well, not too much slow. They want to move, man. That's right.
The managers of the hotels.
Russia, we played. How many? No, that was Turkey. We played a lot of Hiltons.
Good God.
Played a lot of Hiltons. Big ones. We played headquarters in Istanbul.
Istanbul, Turkey.
We played Istanbul three nights in a row, didn't we?
Yes. And packed every night.
Three nights, yeah.
And
But that was the arena in Istanbul. We didn't play the Hilton in Istanbul.
We played the Hilton. No.
In Istanbul?
Yes, we did.
Oh, that's when we came back. Yeah, that's when we came back. But we played
venues,
that arena.
Different
that
venue
arena.
Every night.
We played that arena. I think we played that arena two nights in Russia. I mean, in Istanbul. Yeah. Oh, this is the greatest music ever hit the planet in that part of the world.
And then how long was that world tour that you did?
Well, these are various tours.
Okay.
The one in, let me see. That was 40
six,
days.
Seven,
that was 40 days in Turkey.
7 to 8 weeks. Seven.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I guess that gets back to now you're in the U.S. and you said that you're not really making any new music now except possibly something with the Dap Kings. Except you're producing stuff on other people, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that you wanted to talk about today is a new artist that you're producing, is that correct?
Yeah, one particular young lady that I met when she was the backup singer of this band in Australia. And she wanted to do old school music. She wanted to come to Chicago ever since she was 5 years old. And she wanted to do songs of black people that didn't have a chance to make money off the songs, and that's what she wanted to do. And she inspired me, and I inspired her, not from no point, nothing but music. I'm like a father, and I'm like a teacher, and I'm like a mentor. And I taught her soul, but she's good. She can sing, and she's athletic, she can dance, and she can run, but she can't dance black dances now. She dances like a kangaroo. She can jump.
What's
like a kangaroo.
Because she's from Australia.
I don't know.
What's the artist's name?
Melody.
Okay.
We named her. Her name is Melody, M-E-L-O-D-Y, like the melody. Her mama's a singer. Her grandmama's a singer. A brother's the drummer, a dad is a keyboard player with a mama's band. They're a musician family.
Okay.
And I spent some time at their house when I was in Australia last year. So that's how I got to meet her. And we talked on the internet and we transferred band tracks and all that sort of thing back and forth until I was convinced that she could cut it.
So this new music that you're producing on her, is it, she actually came to Chicago to record it, or you did some tracks over here and then send it over there and she sang on it?
She came to Chicago.
Okay.
We did that all first, just for me to find out if it's worth it. And when she sent them back, it was worth it.
Okay. And from what I understand, a lot of the tracks are classic Chicago soul cuts, and then you have some new songs.
Some new songs,
also,
yes.
Right?
Yes. But we wanted to do old school soul music that didn't, you know, Joe Armstead, Stone Good Lover, Ruby Andrews, Casanova. I mean, it's big, but I think it didn't get big across the world like it should have. Plus, it's in the 60s, and people are like 40 years old, they never heard that.
Yeah, and those are all like classic Chicago sounds.
Right, and Barbara Ackland, she's ceased, and then that point, she's gone, and Joe Armstead don't sing anymore, and Jackie Ross, she won't sing too much. She makes clothes now. Jackie Ross designed some of her clothes that she wore when she came here and did her photo shoot.
Okay. Oh, you're saying Jackie Ross designed some of Melody's clothes?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
She's at Jackie Ross' house quite a few times, and she almost fainted to know that she was going to go to Jackie Ross's house.
When her first single that you were releasing on her was going to be Selfish One.
Yes.
Okay, well, do you want me to, should we play Selfish One right now?
Play Selfish One.
Okay, so this is Melody with her first new single. This is Selfish One. One second. Here it is. Okay, that was just a singer named Melody with a remake produced by Syl Johnson of Jackie Ross's Selfish One. So is that released yet?
That was just it. This is just the first one to play it in Chicago.
Oh, we just premiered it.
Yeah, nice. We just premiered it. It was released on our birthday, was yesterday. So today is the first time it was played ever on major radio.
Oh, her birthday was yesterday?
Yes.
Happy birthday, Melody.
Happy birthday, Melody. Tell her happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Melody.
Happy birthday to you.
From the world to you.
So for the release, for the releases of her material, you've actually, I guess it never really died, but you resurrected the Twinite label, is that right?
Yes. Well, there was nothing happening with it for years upon top of years, until I got a chance to get my hands on it, exclusively. One died and I bought the other guy out.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's got the same logo and everything.
Yes,
it looks
sir.
The same.
Yes.
And so is this available? Like,
yes.
It's out now.
Yeah, iTunes and Dusty Grooves, you can buy it.
Okay.
And iTunes and CD Baby and Amazon.com and, well, a bunch of downloads as of this week.
Yeah, and I like how it... first of all, is it correct that it's all real instruments on the track?
Why don't you play the second one as well, extended version? This is Barbara Ackland, and I love Barbara Ackland as much as I love Jackie Ross, and Barbara Ackland is deceased, but I really wanted to do Barbara Ackland, and it was great.
Okay, so I'll play this, and then...
Love Makes a Woman.
I'll play Love Makes a Woman, and then we'll talk a little bit more about the people playing on it and stuff like that. So this is Melody covering Barbara Ackland's Love Makes a Woman.
Should've been learning.
Okay, that was just a singer named Melody with a new release. It was a remake of Barbara Acklin's classic record, Love Makes a Woman. And Syl Johnson and Bernard Reed are up in here right now talking about Melody's recordings. So Selfish One and Love Makes a Woman is the first single that you're releasing on her.
Yes.
We were just talking before, so it's all real musicians playing on the tracks. So who are the musicians playing on the tracks?
Bernard Reed on bass.
Okay.
Syl Johnson on guitar.
Okay.
Will Crosby on guitar. And Will Crosby's playing about two guitars there. I'm playing one guitar there. And Mo Jennings on keyboard. Mars Jennings on drums. And Anthony Space is on keyboards. Hank Ford on tenor. Give me some of the other musicians.
Kenny Anderson on trumpet. Steve Barry on trombone. Willie Henderson on baritone.
Paul Howard on trumpet. Steve Hawkins and Bill McFarlane on trombone.
So you have a bunch of classic Chicago musicians.
Yes.
And I don't recognize all the names. I guess there's some newer musicians also on the track.
Yeah, these are all local guys.
But they're all local Chicago musicians.
Yeah, been here for like the race.
Yeah, but Will Cosby and Anthony Space.
Some from the original recording also.
Oh, that's cool, actually.
And Willie Hayes is playing drums on some of his stuff as well.
Okay.
Willie Hayes.
And
he's still from a younger generation of soul, and so is Will Cosby and Anthony Space, but... That's a mixture of some of the older guys and some younger guys on music. And she did about 22 tracks in Chicago in the past year.
Okay. And
she was good.
And one thing I noticed is that there's actually strings, and the strings are arranged by Tom.
Tom Washington.
That's correct?
Yes.
So you kind of got like the whole lineup of everybody from Chicago on her record.
Right.
And you said that she did about 24 tracks that you recorded on her?
About 22.
22?
Yes.
So what's the plan? Are you going to release a whole album on her eventually?
Well, yes. The name of the album is Rebirth of Soul.
Okay. And so you're going to release a few singles and then ultimately release an album, is that right?
Yeah, the Rebirth of Soul.
Okay, well, we also have the second single here. Should I play it?
Yes.
Okay. So a remake of another classic Chicago soul record. And you actually press it on to vinyl.
Vinyl, yes.
Classic format.
Right. Limited edition, about... So many you could buy, and that's that.
But people will be able to get it on download also, too, right?
Yes.
So this is, right now, this is Melody with a remake of Tyrone Davis' Turn Back the Hands of Time.
Back to the time.
Okay, you're tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. That was just a new recording artist from Australia named Melody, and that was called Turn Back the Hands of Time. And if you're just tuning in, I'm in the studio with Syl Johnson and Bernard Reed, and we're talking about Melody and her recording. And that was, I really enjoyed that recording. I really liked that out of the best out of the three I heard so far. I liked how it really sounded like the original with the horns, but then the bass line and the drums kind of made it stepper sounding, like it really switched it up.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really nice groove on that record.
Yes.
And that's going to be the second single that comes out, is that right?
Yes.
So, yeah, that was really nice. So then the flip of that is a track called Half of Love, is that right?
Yes.
What's the story with that?
Well, it's a song that me and my daughter refurbished. I recorded it first back in 1961 or two. And it was never written on a record or nothing.
You're saying you recorded it in 61?
Yeah.
But it was never released?
Right. Then Selena and I rewrote it in about 1999 or so. 98.
And it was released on one of Selena's CDs?
No. No.
But she just rewrote it with you?
Yeah.
Okay.
We did it, but nothing happened. She and I did it.
Oh, you did it as a duo with her?
Yeah, with Selena. Nothing happened.
It was never released or anything?
Yeah, nothing happened.
It was
released, but the company released it went out of bankruptcy. The week they released it. So I won't even call their name.
Okay, so it was released but not distributed really or anything?
No, right.
Okay, so this is hopefully the first released and distributed version.
Yeah, she did a great job on this one. She didn't play it around. She did deep soul here.
So this will be the first record that you put out on Melody that is, it's a cover, but it's a cover of a song you wrote, not an old Chicago soul song.
Right.
So what's this track called again?
Half of Love.
Okay, here it is.
You think you got the kind of man that when you ask him where he's going, he turns around and tell you where he's been. Let me tell you, girl, you think you got a superman, but he's loving one woman on one hand. On the other hand, he's telling you she's just a friend. And that's a half a love. Oh, I need all of your love, 'cause it just won't. The half of love, oh, I need all of your love. For loving, it takes two, it takes me, and it takes you. This I want to say to you, baby, it's been on my mind a long, long time. The way you've been cheating with those girls, it's really making me lose my mind. I want to tell you how I feel, boy. You're the one I'm thinking of. It takes two.
Okay, that was just a new track by a singer named Melody. That was the flip side of her second single, which is not out yet. And that track was called Half a Love. And if you're just tuning in, I have Syl Johnson up in here talking about that record that he just produced.
Yes.
So that record, when is that one going to come out?
Tuesday.
Tuesday, okay.
Yeah.
And one thing that's interesting about that one is singing. I heard on the other ones, I could hear in the background was just Melody on overdub, but that one has different background singers, is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Who's in the background on that one?
A couple of emotions. What is it, Diane and Melody? It's not Diane, Teresa and Teresa Davis.
And Wanda,
yeah, okay.
Okay, which is cool. I actually, after you said it, I totally recognized it. I was like,
right.
But
you recognize it. You're a different background.
So you already have two singles out, and that one is actually going to be available on vinyl, which is cool.
Uh-huh.
So thanks so much for coming up and telling the story of your recording history and some of the stuff that you are working on.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing I want to ask about now that we have a few minutes left is just the song Is It Because I'm Black that you did was a really unique recording, just sort of like thematically, in that it got played and there aren't many records that came out and charted that got played like that.
Well, I wanted to just say the reason why I did this Melody saga, this Melody project, is I want to signify to the young people to come back and do this old school type music because it was the best music ever.
That's true.
Okay, so she put a younger face on it, and maybe some of the young people will start playing instruments and like her and want to play some music. I mean, you can call it old school if you want, but it's music. And talking about Is It Because I'm Black, there you go again. It's music. I mean, some of the greatest music that ever hit the planet. There are so many people that sampled Is It Because I'm Black. Little Flip, Cassidy, Wu-Tang Clan, Cypress Hill, Style P, Frost, in the Wintertime, and just a bunch of people sampled this because I'm black. And so I counted maybe about 55 of versions of it throughout the world. 55 different people did it because I'm black.
Okay. Yeah, it was interesting because I was looking at it. Actually charted very high. It was one of the highest charting Twinight records that you released on the R&B charts.
Yes.
It charted like 11 or something like that, like in the R&B.
Well, that was just, Billboard?
Yeah.
In the Cashbox. In Record World, it was like, I think Cashbox was like number one.
Okay.
And like Record World was like number three.
Okay.
So it wasn't just Billboard then, it was Cashbox and Record World. And they were like more R&B-ish than Billboard.
So this song like definitely resonates with, like you're talking about all the people sampling it, they could definitely resonate with people back then and today still.
Not only that, it's Let Freedom Sing. It's a box set with Aretha Franklin, Nat King Cole, Harry Belafonte. Ooh, so many different people. And It's Because I'm Black is one of the premier cuts in that one. It's called Let Freedom Sing. It's on Sony, Universal, and you can buy it. It's about Oscar Brown, Oscar Tony Jr. It's got
Oscar Brown Jr.
It's got the Staple Singers. It's got Curtis Mayfield. Oh, wow. So many people in that one. And Is It Because I'm Black was like premiered in that one. And I was like, that was wonderful.
Okay, well, thanks again for coming down and telling your story and talking about that, too.
Thank you very much. That's part of my story. I told you about the good things. In fact, in my history of my career, it was great. But there's some things in my career I don't like. I didn't like. But the good outweighed the bad.
That's good.
So
it's always a positive.
So Bernard, meeting Bernard Reed and making music with Bernard Reed was one of the good things in my career.
Thank you, Cleo.
Thanks both of you for coming down.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
And peace and blessings to everyone on this Memorial Weekend.
And you with that video, young man. I mean,
bless someone today by
bless
someone in your family, your friends, a loved one.
Blessing. One thing I hope they can stop the oil from coming up, and I have an idea to stop it. And I'll tell you what it is before someone might steal it. But you know, the space.
Okay.
They make the rocket boosters.
Okay.
I could take that and I could do it and I could stop the oil. I could.
With
and
space.
I'll prove it to you. I'll show you how it's done. But
I'll have you on another show next week.
No, I'll show you before I leave. I'll draw it out for you, and I'll show you how it's done, and I could do it.
Okay. You can put it on the internet if you want.
Yeah, it's called Cyril Johnson 1.
Okay.
Cyril Johnson 1 at AOL.com.
Okay.
And I can show you, but I don't want to lose my patent.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, well, thanks so much for coming down.
Thank
I really
you.
Appreciate
you need
it.
Some help.
Thank you. Stop the oil.
Definitely.
Coming in our waters. We drink that water.
Definitely. Okay, thanks so much for coming
down.
Thank you.
I'm glad I said that.